kind of fancy tonight doing the PowerPoint. It's not going to be as fancy or nice as Tom's or Bill's. The thing is to remember to flip the slide. All right. Oh, and a disclaimer right away that, yes, I know, the picture that you will see. We don't actually know what these people look like, but it's to help give us a visual. Oh, look. Yeah, thank you, Charles, for pointing that out. Appreciate that. All right, so God says what he means and means what he says. Amen? That's definitely amen worthy. You know, so many of our friends, they like to say that God is a loving God. And that is true. God is a loving God. As long as we believe in him, we're saved. Well, that is a true statement. There are other things that go along with that, but that is a true statement. God would never be mean or hurt us. That is true. As long as I'm a good person and treat people well, I'm going to heaven. Well, yeah, that is part of the things that we need to do to get to heaven. God won't condemn me for blank. Fill in the blank. It's okay if I do blank. God hates the sin, loves the sinner. If only people would read their Bibles and have a little extra common sense. And it's these types of beliefs that encourage the false teaching of once saved, always saved, and trying to fit God into their lives rather than fitting their lives to please God. It's human nature to want to do the bare minimum than to actually do the work. If we can find a shortcut in just about anything we do, we'll take it. And a lot of the time, that's not a bad thing. But when it comes to pleasing God, there are no shortcuts. It's plain what we need to do, whether we like it or not. Your boss at work, sometimes the boss will assign you tasks you don't want to do or make you go outside of your comfort zone. Sometimes life in general gives us obstacles and choices we have to make. It's how we handle these challenges that make us strong or weak individuals. Do we complain and try to find shortcuts or end up doing things the wrong way because we didn't want to follow what's been laid before us? Cheating, perhaps. There's only one rule book to get us to heaven, and it's God's Word, the Bible. There is no cheating. We can't take shortcuts and change the rules that have already been laid before us. God says what he means and means what he says. It is a true statement that God is a loving God and doesn't want to hurt us. What happens when you do something wrong at work, at school, at home, playing a game, etc.? There are consequences. When parents discipline their children, they still love them, but they want them to do the right thing. There are rules to follow. God loves us even when we mess up. God still loves us. As long as we sincerely repent and try to do our best. But he will also discipline us. We're going to take a look at a few examples of folks trying to take shortcuts, not following the rules, not taking God seriously. Adam and Eve. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 22, but we're only going to read through 13. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die." And the serpent said to the woman, "You surely shall not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." And of course, as we know, we follow what happened from then on. They listened to someone telling them the wrong thing. They wanted to take a shortcut. They tried to cheat. Then they tried to hide it. Whenever we sin, often we try to hide it from other people, don't we? We forget that God sees everything. You can't hide from God. God laid out the rules, and the serpent tried to change the rules, and Adam and Eve listened. God still loved them, but he had to discipline them. There are many examples and analogies we can come up with as far as things that we do today. One of the ones, I just had this discussion recently with some co-workers. Many people will say, you don't have to go to church every week or at all. I disagree with organized religion. Well, those are both kind of silly statements. And they're false. Christ died for the church. The church is the bride of Christ. The book of Acts, which Bill is leading a wonderful in-depth study in on Sunday mornings, is about the establishment of the church. Other books in the Bible, there were letters written to the church. Hebrews talks about willful sin and forsaking the assembly. And people have the nerve to say that they don't have to go to church? It's not a sin if I don't go. We've just proven that you need to be in church services by what we just talked about. And we've given a book about it too. It's in Hebrews 10. At the very least, we're to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ every first day of the week. God says what he means and means what he says. Our next example, Moses in the Promised Land. Let's go to Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20, 8 through 12. Take the rod, and you and your brother Aaron assemble the congregation and speak to the rock before their eyes, that it may yield its water. You shall thus bring forth water from them, for them out of the rock, and let the congregation and their beasts drink. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord, just as he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock, and he said to them, Listen now, you rebels, shall we bring forth water for you out of the rock? Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod. And water came forth abundantly, and the congregation and their beasts drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, Because you have not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. God loved Moses. God loves us. Moses didn't follow God's command and was disciplined. He did not get to go into the Promised Land. He got to see it from afar off. What will happen to us if we don't follow God's simple commands? We will be disciplined, maybe for eternity. We have to have faith in God and his word. Moses was not the example he needed to be for the people. What happens if we're not the example we need to be for our brothers and sisters and the world? Sometimes we look for shortcuts or do just the bare minimum to get by. Nothing above and beyond. God says what he means and means what he says. Nadab and Abihu. Let's move to Leviticus chapter 10. In chapter 9, Aaron was doing the sin offering as he was commanded. In chapter 10, let's read what happened to Aaron's sons. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord, and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, It is what the Lord spoke, saying, By those who come near me, I will be treated as holy, and before all the people, I will be honored. So Aaron, therefore, kept silent. God may not deal with us in this way today, but God says what he means and means what he says. God is patient with us to a point. If we continue to constantly do something different than what God wants, he may not discipline us right now, but on Judgment Day, we will receive our punishment. Book of Jonah. Okay, it's a race to see who can find the Book of Jonah first. Jonah 4:2 reads, "He prayed to the Lord and said, 'Please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity.'" Jonah, the runaway prophet. He knew God's love toward his creation. God's word is for all, and Jonah knew that if Nineveh heard the message, they would be spared, and Jonah didn't want that. Jonah, let's look at Jonah 1, verse 3. "But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Jonah 1:3 tells us that he tried to flee from the presence of the Lord. And we know how the rest of the account goes. In chapter 2, verse 5, we read, "Water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head." Chapter 1, verse 17, "And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights." There are many lessons in the book of Jonah. It's a sermon itself. Some of the highlights, there are parallels with Christ. He was in the belly of the fish for 3 days. Christ was in the grave and rose on the third day. It shows us that God is in control. Control of the weather, control of the nations, etc. It shows that God wants all people to repent. Sending the missionary, Jonah, to these Gentile Ninevites was a clear demonstration of this. Mankind is accountable to the Lord. Jonah 1, verse 2, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Another lesson we learn in the book of Jonah, the punishment of hell. Jonah 2, 2, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. You heard my voice. If we truly repent and change our ways, God will hear us and deliver us. Let's remember what Paul said in Romans 15, 4. "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance in the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." God says what he means, it means what he says. Ananias and Sapphira. Let's move over to Acts. Another shameless plug for Bill's Sunday morning Bible study. We encourage everybody to come to that at 10 o'clock. There's a great in-depth study in Acts. And it's okay that you join in progress. Bill has some great handouts, too. He's got notebooks as well, so you can talk to Bill afterwards and get all caught up if you don't have the updates for the Acts study. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. "But a certain man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself, with his wife's full knowledge, and bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit, and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God.' And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard of it. And the young men arose and covered him up. And after carrying him out, they buried him. Now there elapsed an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter responded to her, 'Tell me whether you sold the land for such and such a price.' And she said, 'Yes, that was the price.' Then Peter said to her, 'Why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they shall carry you out as well.' And she fell immediately at his feet, and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. They could have kept the money for the land they sold." Peter mentioned that. They said they would give the money, but kept a portion for themselves. They lied. They lied to God. Now, God may not strike us dead for lying today, but we know what our fate will be if we continue in sin. God says what he means and means what he says. Let's move over to Hebrews chapter 10. Starting in verse 26. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," and again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That better put fear into us. So let's summarize a little bit. Yes, God loves us. Yes, he wants us to do his will. Yes, he will punish us if we continually don't do his will. Yes, he wants us to be good people. Yes, God says what he means and means what he says. When we say things like, "Oh, you don't have to go to church," or "It's okay if you fill in the blank here," what does the Bible say about leading people astray? Matthew 18 talks about that, verses 1 through 7. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, "Truly, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Who then humbles himself as a child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of its stumbling blocks, for it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to the man through whom the stumbling block comes." We will have to answer for telling people, "Oh, it's okay to do this or that." Do you want that responsibility? Just think of some of our friends who are sharing their beliefs which are contrary to God's word and leading people astray. Or even members in the church being a poor example and doing the same thing, saying certain things are okay with God or binding other opinions on people. God will deal with them on Judgment Day. God says what he means and means what he says. We need to take him seriously. Are you taking God seriously? Are you taking God's church seriously? How do you treat the world? How do you treat your brothers and sisters? Are you treating the world better than your brothers and sisters? Sadly, this happens a lot in the church. With just a few of the many examples, we've proven that God says what he means and means what he says. There are way more examples in the Bible we could have come up with. Have you taken to heart what God is saying to you? If you haven't been the Christian you need to be and need the prayers of the church, now is the time to come forward. Maybe you've taken to heart that God says what he means and means what he says and are ready to be buried with Christ in the watery grave of baptism and arise anew. We can do that right now. Whatever the need, please come forward to one of the front pews as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.